Welcome from the Difference Church. Our message this week is titled Fear of the Lord. Let's listen in as Pastor Ken Willis gets started.
Amen. So here we go. You ready? Let's launch this thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 in the New Living Translation, it says this. All right, and you can go back and it, because the verse starts with, that's the whole story, so you can go back and read the story, but I'm not going to go back and talk about the whole story. I'm going to talk about this. It says, here now is my final conclusion. This is what we're talking about today. Fear God and obey His commandments, for this is everyone's duty. For this is everyone's duty. What is everyone's duty? To fear God and obey His commandments. And if you truly fear God, you have a healthy fear of the Lord, you will do His commandments. Right? Because it's like, I love my wife. And I'm so thankful for her. And because of that, her desires have, this has happened 30 years ago, but her desires altered my life. Right? Things that she likes that I may not have really cared that much about, but because I love her and I want to be a blessing to her, it altered the way I think. It altered the way I am. It's altered the things that I do because of my love for her. It's not so she's sitting there with a whip. Just, you better do it, mister. You know, it's not like that, but it's because I care about her. And here's the other thing. The other part of that, and we'll get into this here in a little bit, was there are certain ways that I had to adjust to have a happy marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are certain, yeah. I'm getting a few looks here. Come on. There are things that I had to adjust in my, because I, how many know that I didn't come out of my mother's womb married? I lived a lot of years as a single dude. And so I had a single dude's mentality. How many know you cannot be married with a single dude's mentality? There are too many dudes trying to be single dude mentality. And some girls that are trying to be single dudette mentality. But no, when you get married, actually, it actually should happen before you get married. See, I did not start thinking, oh, this is the one woman in my life, so I've got to act differently on July 14th, 1990, which was our wedding day, which this coming week we have our 32nd anniversary, right? What is that? Today's the 10th, Thursday. And what do I got to do? I got to spend the day in the office with Virgie on my anniversary. But it's all good, because after a few years, you decide, okay, we'll celebrate at some point. We got life to live, right?
We'll go out to dinner.
Yeah, we'll go out to dinner, whatever. But so here's my point is even before my wedding day, I began to think married. I begin to think that everything that every decision I'm about to make affects her. So I'm gonna make those decisions with her in mind. You see where I'm going? When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you take on the fear of the Lord. In other words, everything that I do, everything that I say, every way that I act, I'm gonna do, say, and act with Him in mind. See that? And so it alters you. That's why Romans 6:2 says that when you become a believer, you take on a newness of life. Life is no longer the same when you give your life to Christ. And the problem is, this is why where you have a lot of carnal Christians. In other words, people that accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but yeah, He's not really their Lord, because they're still doing the same fleshy stuff they did before they ever gave their life to Him, supposedly gave their life to Him, right? But see, what we want to do is take on that mentality that everything that I say, everything that I do, it's filtered through His desires. Yeah. I'm going to take Him into account. See, I can't go buy a motorcycle and not take my wife into account. That's right. right? I can't go buy me a whatever, a boat, a four-wheeler. Let's go to the dunes. I'm going to go buy me about 4 four-wheelers and take some buddies. Well, that decision better be filtered through what she's thinking. Or I'm going to be hearing things that she would never say these words, but it would be equivalent to you're an idiot. That was one of the most foolish things you've ever done. How many know? Happy wife, happy life. Dudes, accept it. That's just the way it is. Right? So when I got married, I took on, even before then, but when I got married, I took on this new life, this newness of life, because now I don't only live with the fear of the Lord, I live with the fear of Heather. But not because I'm afraid of her. See? And I believe many of you start to laugh because you're thinking, fear, I'm afraid of her. No, I'm not afraid of her. Why? I have no reason to be. I've never cheated on her. I've never hit her. Now, we've gotten in some arguments, and I've had to repent of some things and all that kind of stuff. But that's married life. Don't sit here and try to tell me your married life is just absolute bliss. Yeah, it is bliss. Blister, you know. There's some bliss, but then the tur comes in at some point, right? Married people go through stuff, right? Because you got two individuals learning to accommodate one another. But the reason I say the fear of Heather is because everything I do is filtered through how's this going to impact her? What is she going to think about this? How's she going to feel about this? Well, I'm my own man. I can do and say whatever I want. Enjoy your misery. I choose happiness. I choose peace. And I realized that when I got married, I was not becoming a married dude with a ring on his... I was not becoming a single dude with a ring on his finger. I was becoming married. The Bible says when a man and woman come together, they become one. Yeah. Right? And I didn't mean this... I didn't mean for this to turn into a marriage sermon, but it very easily could be. But I'm just using that as an illustration. All right. But he says here, fear God and obey his commandments, for this is everyone's duty. Right? It's the duty of every person. Listen, the fear of the Lord is so important that it's mentioned 300 times in the Bible. 300 times in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is mentioned. That's how important it is to the Lord and for us to understand what that is. Right? All right, Psalm 31, verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19 says this. It says, how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You know, there's some good things about God that you can't even access if you don't have a healthy fear of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? It says it right there. How great is the goodness you have stored up, not for everybody, for a very specific group of people. He didn't say that you've stored up for every believer. He said that you have stored up for those who fear you. Amen? All right. Listen to some of these promises. They're not going to be up on the screen. You can write them down if you want to. I'm just going to go through them, or I will be here forever. And so let's look at these real quick. Here are some promises for those who fear the Lord. How many know that the Bible gives some promises for those who actually walk in with a healthy fear of the Lord? Right? Not afraid that he's going to bash you. Right? Not afraid that he's going to hit you with a lightning bolt if you said one thing wrong or anything like that. No, we're talking about just a healthy an honor, a reverence, a respect for God, but all, and I'll explain this a little bit later, but also a fear of God. Now, we're not talking about just, oh, we just revere him, we just respect, we just honor him. No, there is a healthy fear, phobia. I'll show it to you in the scriptures. We'll get there here in just a little bit. But there is a healthy fear of the Lord. The Bible says, don't be afraid of the one that does this, that, and another, but be afraid of the one that can, how does it say it? That can send your soul to hell. I mean, so there is a legitimate fear. In other words, and you're going to see this, but it's not because God's just going to, what's the word I'm looking for? God's just going to randomly, you know, slap you. You know, God's just going to randomly do something bad to you. No. You just got to learn how to work with the power of God. Watch this. I'll get to that here. Let me just read these. Okay. Psalm 112, verse 1, and this is out of the New King James. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Right? Blessed. So a person that has a healthy fear of the Lord is a blessed person. I mean, you actually open yourself up to the goodness of God by having a healthy fear of the Lord. Psalm 115, verse 11 says, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And what does a shield do? Protects you. So having a healthy fear of the Lord, it's a help. It's a shield. It's a protector for you. Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Amen. Parents, where are you? Where's my amens for my parents? Amen. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Right? Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death for those who fear the Lord. Amen. Proverbs 22. Oh, here, this is a good one. Come on. Proverbs 22, verse 4. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. These are the blessings. This is the good stuff that comes from having a healthy fear of the Lord in your life. Amen. All right, Psalm 147 and verse 10 through 11, it says this, he takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Isn't that good? Glory to God. See, talking about and learning to walk in the fear of the Lord, it's not a bad thing. It's a very, very good thing. Amen. All right. J. Oswald Chambers said this. He says, the remarkable thing about God, are you guys listening? This is so good. I just want to make sure you're awake. Listen. The remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. See what the fear of the Lord does for you? Because the one that you walk in fear of, a healthy fear of, he's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. But if you're not walking in the fear of the Lord, you tend to be afraid of everything else. Why do people get afraid that something bad is going to happen to them? Because they're not truly trusting that God is going to take care of them. Amen. Right? So fear of the Lord is very important. Charles Spurgeon said this, he who fears God has nothing else to fear. He who fears God has nothing else to fear. Amen. Isn't that good? That is so good. All right. So let's answer this question. What is the fear of the Lord? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Let's look at this. It says this. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. Right? For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. So during our time on the earth, as we saw over in Ecclesiastes, our duty is to walk in a fear of him. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. Amen? Yeah. All right. So that word fear there, where it says, so you must live in a reverent fear of him, that word fear in the Greek is actually phobios, which comes from the word phobia. It actually means to be afraid of. So in other words, what he's saying, but it's a reverent thing. right? And I'm going to explain it here in just a minute, but it's a reverent, I want to make sure that I'm honoring God. I want to do it right, right? It's like, that's why I don't cheat on my wife, right? Because I would not want to face the repercussions of it. Well, I mean, because it's wrong too, of course. You guys do understand that. But there are things. Why do you not speed when you're around a police officer? You have a healthy fear, or you have a respect for them. I mean, how many know when you're driving the speed limit and a police officer pulls up behind you? What's up, brother? Yeah. No problem. But when you're speeding and you go by a police officer, all of a sudden, that foot jumps over on the brake, right? Because you have a healthy fear of the police officer. You're not afraid of him when everything's going well, but when you're breaking the law, when you're not living by the principles you're supposed to be living by, what is your concern? You're going to get pulled over, and he's going to your consequence. There's going to be a consequence because you didn't handle the law right. You didn't deal with the laws of the land right. Right? All right. Does that help anybody?
Yeah.
All right. So let's look at this word, and it's back up at the top here. It says, now you must be holy in everything you do. Let's talk about that. I think the King James, if you have a King James, it says in your conversation. It says you must be holy in your conversation. That word conversation has nothing to do with words coming out of your mouth. It's not really talking about a conversation like we think of. This is what it actually means. That word, it means in everything you do. And this is what that means. It depicts a lifestyle. So when he says, so you must be holy in everything you do, he's saying you must be holy in your lifestyle. It's talking about a person's rising up and sitting down. So you're rising up in holiness and you're sitting down in holiness. You get up in the morning in holiness and you go to bed in holiness. Holiness is all about the lifestyle. See, holiness is one of the fuels a few weeks ago that we talked about. Fueling your passion for God, living on fire for God with the fuel of holiness, right? And so he says here that this person is in their rising up and they're sitting down. It pictures how a person conducts life and how they behave in every situation. So you have this healthy fear of the Lord. You're like, oh man, I just want to be a blessing to the Lord, so I'm going to do this. But there's also the thing, I'm not going to let my life go into that sin because I don't want to have to face God on this. I mean, no, that's a healthy fear. It's the same reason I'm not going to speed or I'm not going to go rob that bank because I don't want to get caught and then have to stand before the judge and face the prosecution of it. I don't want to have to go to prison. I mean, no, that's a healthy fear as a citizen. But am I afraid of the judge on a daily basis? No, as long as I'm doing what's right, I have nothing to be afraid of. Oh, this is so good. It means a person's total conduct, a total picture of one's life and behavior. So he says, so you must be holy in everything you do. In other words, have a healthy fear of the Lord in everything you do. And then down here at the bottom, we already talked about the fear thing. So what is Peter actually communicating to us through the Holy Spirit that inspired him to write this? Right? He's saying, calling on God as your heavenly Father does not exempt you from consequences. Calling on God as your heavenly Father. How many know a lot of people like, oh yeah, he's my Lord. But you look at their life and the words that come after that, and it's like, no, your Lord didn't tell you to say that. You know, athletes and movie stars are big on that. I just want to give all glory to God. They go sit back at their table to blankety blank 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 blank, and their lifestyle has no. You wouldn't have even known that they even knew who Jesus was if they had not said that, right? But one, I can't remember who it was, but one person said, "Live your life in a way that it preaches Christ, and if necessary, use words." Does your life speak about the Bible? Can people see godly character in your life without you ever saying a word? But he says this, so calling on God as your heavenly Father does not exempt you from consequences. You need to be serious about the way you live your life. So it's not enough to go, oh, well, God's just merciful. Yeah, God is merciful, but he's also going to hold us account. He's going to hold us responsible for what he has shown to us, what he has revealed to us. And now you can't no longer live your life saying, I didn't know anything about the fear of the Lord. Thank you. You're very welcome. So I am teaching you that God's holding us responsible for the way we live our lives. And so it's important for us to say, hey, God wants me to be holy in everything I do, then I'm going to take him into account in every conversation, every response. When I'm in a discussion with someone or an argument, I'm being held accountable for every response that I make. Is it in love? Is it in faith? And were you being led by the Spirit of God to respond that way? And all of us would have to raise both hands and both feet and say, we've blown it in that area. All of us have. But what's beautiful is God knows our hearts, and he goes, okay, repent, let's get on track, we're good. I'm not going to hold it against you. As long as you truly repent out of your heart, just keep working on it. Psalm 34, verse 11, I'm not going to have you turn there. He might have it up on the screen because I gave it to him. But Psalm 34 and verse 11 says, come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we need to be taught to fear the Lord. The problem is we're living in a society where a lot of pastors have not taught their young people to fear the Lord. Now these young people have grown up without a fear of the Lord. Right? But we got to get back to it. We got to get back to it. I don't care if no other pastor ever preaches on the fear of the Lord, and I know there are many that do. I don't care if none of them else do. We're gonna, because we want to walk in honor of God. We want to walk in honor of God. Amen. And somebody, but here's what brings some confusion, because you got verses like 1 John 4:18, and 1 John 4:18 says this. 1 John 4:18, and we're going to clear up the confusion. 1 John 4:18 says this: such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Right? So I'm going to use an example. I'm going to make a couple of statements, and I'm going to use an example to help you see what that verse is really talking about. First of all, you need to understand that life has consequences. Life has consequences. And violating certain rules will produce negative consequences. Right? You tell your children, even from an early age, clean up your room, or take out the trash, or do your homework, or whatever it is. And then they don't do it. And then you begin to explain to them, disobedience has consequences. The choices you make have consequences. We're living in a day where nobody wants to be held accountable for their choices. They want to blame it on the gun. They want to blame it on the, you know, anybody else but them. It's somebody else's fault, which is kind of a messed up way of thinking, because, well, if you're not going to be held accountable, why are you blaming it on somebody else? Because they don't want to be held accountable. That's right. So there's no sense in it whatsoever. All right. All right. Let's talk about this example. Let's talk about electricity. Right. Electricity. How many know electricity is a good thing? How many have enjoyed electricity this morning? You are enjoying electricity right now. This room is the temperature it is, and I trust and I hope that it's comfortable for you, but it's because we had electricity. You're able to see me because of electricity. Now, I know we're in a small room, and I wouldn't have to be really, what's that word, mic'd up, and so to where you could hear me, because I could talk loud enough, you could probably hear me, but nobody on Facebook would hear a thing. And as the church grows and it gets bigger, how many know it's going to be important that for my voice to be amplified? We couldn't do any of that without power, without electricity. Electricity is good, man. It brings good things into our life. I mean, you're able to cook with electricity. You're able to watch TV. That may not be such a good thing. But anyway, no, there is some good TV out there. You couldn't listen to music without electricity. You couldn't do a lot of things in your life without electricity. You couldn't wash your clothes. You couldn't dry your clothes. You would all come in stinky clothes, right? So how many know electricity is a blessing? Now, let me tell you a story. And I wish I could say this only happened once to me. But in, you know, throughout my life, I've been known to work on a wall recep or two. And so I go in there and I don't want to go through the what I consider to be the useless motion of turning off the power. Man, that's for wimps. I mean, if you don't know how to deal with electricity, then just don't mess with it. Hire an electrician that would come in and turn off the power, you know. And so I wouldn't turn off the power, but I'd go in there and I'd work on this recep. And I realized that there's power to it, but you know, I'm not like everybody else. I'm me. I got this, right? Now, Chris, he may get shocked out the kahooey, but me, no. Not me. Right? And so I get down there and I'm working with this and I realize I've got to keep these wires separate and I got to be careful what I touch. And I'm down there and I'm working with this thing and it's like all of a sudden, sweet Jesus. And he's like, hey, bonehead, turn off the power. You know, was it the electricity's fault that I got shocked? No. Whose fault was it?
Yours.
Why? Because I didn't go by the principles of what electricity can do. And I didn't use safety precautions, right? And I was going to do it my way. God's no different. It's not God's fault when things don't work for you. It's because you're mismanaging and mishandling his power. See? And that's why the fear of the Lord is so important. Me messing with electricity, if I would have just honored the principles of it and turned off the main, I could have went in there and played with those wires. And since then, I have learned. After, I don't know how many times I got shocked. Because I didn't want. And here's the problem. Too many. I was trying to take a what?
Shortcut.
Too many people try to shortcut with God, and then they get mad at God because it didn't work. You just didn't work the principle right. Well, that faith stuff don't work. You just ain't working it right. And you're doing without, and you're being sick, and you're all these different things are happening in your life because you're just not working it right. The principles, they are spiritual laws. Laws have a predictable outcome. That's the law. How many know the law of gravity has a predictable outcome? How many ever goes to drop something and expects it to go up? Unless it has helium in it. Okay. But you're expecting, if I grab my Bible and I held it here and I let it go, I have full expectation that thing is going to go straight to the floor. Why? Because that's how gravity works. Unless I do something like the law of lift and flight to supersede that law of gravity, that thing's going to hit the floor every single time. Why? Because it has a predictable outcome. And too many times we're trying to shortcut spiritual laws. And we're going to talk about some people here in the New Testament that tried to shortcut the spiritual laws for their own benefit, and it cost them dearly. All right? But electricity is a good thing, right? But if we handle it wrong, it can and will produce negative consequences. Yeah. Houses have burnt down because it wasn't handled properly. Yeah. Right? The problem is not the electricity. Electricity is neutral. Electricity is like, dude, I'm good. Dude, I'm bad. It's not really that it's good or it's bad. It's just that I'm neutral. What you do with me is going to determine the results. Right? You can use electricity to burn down a house, or you can use electricity to warm it, cool it, cook in it, shower, and then all this good stuff. Right? So the effects of electricity is determined by the person who handles it. The power of God works the same way. Right? It brings healing, it brings provision, it brings blessing and benefits. But if you violate the spiritual principles, it will bring a negative consequence. The problem is not God, but how you handle the things of God. Right? Let me read these verses to you real quick, and then we'll get to that story, and then I'm done. Proverbs chapter 9, though, says this. Here's some more good things about the fear of God. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Learning to respect the principles of God, learning to respect the principles of electricity is the beginning of wisdom. And even if you don't use it as the beginning of wisdom, it will give you some wisdom in the middle of it. You'll learn that, oh, that was a bad idea. And then you'll have to kind of get all the static out of your hair and try to rebrush your hair. Okay. All right. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So we need that. That's why we need to learn about the fear of the Lord, how to have a healthy respect and an honor and a healthy respect and fear of God. A.W. Tozer said, wait a minute, I skipped something. All right. So you don't need to be afraid of electricity, and you don't need to be afraid of God unless you're breaking the principles. You're messing with the principles and not doing it the way the laws of electricity tell you you need to deal with it. And if you're trying to do things with God that you're not supposed to do, there's going to be a consequence. Right? But that ain't God. God's not mad at you. But there are laws that govern everything we do, right? A.W. Tozer said this, "When men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation." Is that not the day we're living in right now? When men or women, mankind, when men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation. Right? All right, let's go to the book of Acts, and we're going to wrap this up. All right. In the book of Acts in chapter 4, in verse 36, we read this encounter with a man named Joseph. All right? And it says this. It says in verse 36, let me catch up real quick. Verse 32. "All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all." God's great blessing was upon them all, right? "There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need." Doesn't that sound wonderful? That is glorious. That is wonderful. Now let's look at verse 36. For instance, it says, "For example, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi, and he came from the island of Cyprus." Watch this. "He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles." Wow. How many know that brought encouragement to the apostles? It brought encouragement to everybody around, because then they had more money to be a blessing to everybody, right? Okay, so here's Joseph, and they renamed him Barnabas, son of encouragement. And the thing is, if you study the history of this verse here, you'll find out that people just thought he was, "Oh my gosh, Barnabas, oh dude, that was so amazing." He became like a rock star, you know, almost. And not like a real rock star, but I'm going to say he was really popular with the people because of the generosity out of his heart, man. He was so just like, "Man, I tell you what, I don't need this land, and even if I need it, I'm going to sell it. So I sold this land, I'm going to take the money, I'm going to lay it at the apostles' feet," man. He wasn't thinking about fame and glory. He didn't know he was going to be put in the Bible that we read in 2022. He just did it out of the goodness of his heart. And that's all it was to him. But then people were like, "Oh man, did you hear about that?" So everybody began to hear about what Barnabas did. Right? Nothing wrong with what he did. I mean, it was amazing. Praise God for his heart of generosity. But then there was another couple that heard about what he did. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "But," remember he started off, "for instance." For example, look what happened with Barnabas. Sold his land, brought the money, all of it, laid it at the apostles' feet. People are like, oh, wow. Well, there was another couple that decided, hey, how about we sell a piece of land? We'll do what Barnabas did, and we'll sell this land, and then we'll bring a portion of it and give it to them, and they will think we're great, right? They'll think we're great just like him. Maybe they'll say we're the couple of encouragement. Maybe they'll change our names. But there was a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira. Sold some property. He brought part of the money. Notice the difference? Now listen, it's his land. He sold it. It's his money. Barnabas could have done what he could have kept back part of it if he wanted to. He just chose to give the money. Right? They sold the land. It was their land, their money. They could have done whatever they want. They could have given just part of it if they wanted to keep part of it, put it in savings or go buy a boat or whatever. But they didn't do that. Sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. Brought part of the money, claiming it was the full amount. They're trying to get the big, oh man, Ananias and Sapphira, they're amazing. Oh, just like Barnabas, oh my gosh. But it didn't play out that way, did it? He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. How many know Ananias mishandled the power of God? As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men got up and wrapped him in a sheet and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for the land?" "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." And Peter said, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this?" Man, what you need to understand is, and we're fixing to read some of it here in just a little bit, but man, the power of God was moving in this group of people. I mean, signs, wonders, miracles, I mean, things were happening. The presence of God was strong. People were getting healed and delivered and set free, and man, things were amazing, right? And in the midst of that atmosphere, they felt the need that we've got to keep up with the Joneses. We've got to keep up with the Barnabases. And we're gonna tell them that we did the same thing Barnabas did. The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear, you think? Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. They mishandled the power of God. But I want you to notice verse 12. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly in the temple and around and known as all that kind of stuff. Jump down to verse 15. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowd, why? Because there was so much anointing on Peter in this time that even his shadow was anointed. That is, if his shadow touched a sick person, they were healed. How many know that's some power? And forget about having to lay hands on anybody. Just put a light behind me and cast my shadow. Right? Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. Wow. Wow. So how many can see this? This is kind of like electricity, isn't it? I mean, when you fear the Lord and you have a how many know if you have a healthy respect for someone, you're not going to lie to them. You're going to say, "Hey, man, I sold this land for $50,000, but I, you know, the Lord has put it up on my heart to give you $30,000. And we're just going to put the other 20. You don't even have to tell them what you're doing with the other 20. It's none of our business, or none of their business, right? It's yours to do whatever you want to with. But hey, the Lord has put it on my heart to give you $20,000 of the selling price. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very gracious, very generous. That is wonderful. But they didn't do that. They were trying to keep up with Barnabas. They were trying to get everybody to talk to them about them, like, right? Jealousy. Begin to get it. How many know jealousy has no place in the power of God? Right? But they didn't have a healthy fear of the Lord. If they'd had a healthy fear of the Lord, they would have never brought their lying tongue in that atmosphere and claimed they did something they did not do. And because they walked into that atmosphere without honoring the power of God, right, it cost them their life. Now, do you think God was just sitting there, "I just cannot wait for somebody to mess up so I can just kill them"? That's not what God was doing. But you got to respect the principles of the power of God. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, when we have a healthy fear of God. So in other words, just like you don't have to be afraid of electricity. Is there anybody in here that's actually afraid of electricity? No, we're not afraid of it. We use it every day. We flip on switches. We, you know, whatever. We plug stuff in. No problem. Why? Because we're doing everything. So electricity is our friend. Yes. We get along really well with electricity. But when you start breaking the laws of electricity and you start touching things you're not supposed to be touching. Yeah. Remember the guy back in the Old Testament? They told him, says, "Don't touch that cart. That's carrying the Ark of the Covenant." Yeah. What was his name? Was it Uriah? I can't remember the guy's name. But anyway, you can go look it up. But anyway, this dude, he was told, "Do not touch the cart. It's carrying the Ark of the Covenant. If you touch it, you will die." Well, they're going across, and all of a sudden, somebody stumbles, and the Ark starts tipping a little bit. He reached out, and grabbed the Ark of the Covenant. He touched the cart, and he fell dead. God specifically told him, "Don't do it." See, when we respect God for who He is, that's why Peter was telling us, you know, we are to live with a literal fear, but not a fear like, "I'm afraid of God. Oh my gosh, He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me." No, I'm just going to do everything right because I know that the Bible talks about the merciful side of God, and it talks about the severe side of God. Right? All we got to do, you walk in the merciful side of God, you walk in line with His word, and you don't have to worry about the severe side. That's why I tell people all the time, you know what I would do if I wasn't saved? See, it works the same way. Because I'm saved, I don't have to be afraid that God's going to send me to hell. I'm not concerned about it. I don't ever think, "Oh my goodness, am I ever actually going to make it to heaven?" No, I know I'm going to go to heaven. Now, if I've walked away from God and I began to live in sin and indulge myself in sinful things, then I would be having that's what made me go to the altar every time church doors opened when I was a kid. There's no way I'm closing these eyes and going to sleep without asking God to forgive me. I don't even know if I did anything wrong, but I ain't even risking it. Because I had a fear of God. And when you're living in sin and you know that, it for me, it made me afraid. Right, but it was a healthy fear because I knew what I needed to do, and then I would come back and say, "Oh, Father God, I'm asking you." I didn't do it like, "Okay, God, forgive me, thank you. I'm gonna go out and do it again." No, every time I said that, I absolutely intentionally meant to never sin again. Yes. But I'm human, so we do. Yeah. But that fear causes us to come back and say, "Father, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for my sin, God." And that's what's so beautiful about 1 John 1:9, because He says, "If any of you have sinned, confess your sin before the Father. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Amen. How many are thankful that there is a merciful side of God? How many are glad that we don't have to walk being afraid of God? We're not afraid of God. Just live according to His word. Because those that fear Him, I mean, He's got all kinds of good stuff for you. Praise God for that. Amen. Does this help anybody with understanding what the fear of the Lord is? We don't have to live in a stark fear that God's going to do. No, God's not after you. He's not after you. He's not after you in that sense, right? God's wanting to pour truckloads of blessing on you. But he's looking for those that have a healthy respect and a fear of him. Amen. We honor him. We revere him. We respect him. And there's a reason we revere him. Right? You know, when two teams come together, there's a reason one team has a great respect for those receivers, because those receivers can dupe them just like that and then run for a touchdown, and then they're going to face the consequences of a loss. Right? But we have a great... So my thing is, let's walk with a healthy... Everybody say healthy. A healthy respect for God, because he's a good God and he's faithful and he's just and he's got great, wonderful things for us. But it is important, because a lot of people in the day we live in, they have lost the concept of honor. They've lost the concept of holiness. They've lost the concept of walking in humility before the Lord. They've lost the concept of the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is what sets us up for great blessings. I said the fear of the Lord is what sets us up for great blessings. It sets us up for all the goodness of God, man. We can preach on the goodness of God all day long, but if we don't learn how to walk in the fear of the Lord and have an honorable respect for him, and I'm gonna make these decisions because that's what my God wants. I don't want to be on the backside of that. Forget that. I don't want to be on the backside of a police officer. I want to be on the good side, so I'm going to continue to honor the law. I'm going to continue to honor his word and do things the way he says to do them, because I know that there's blessing in that. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of that? Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. One thing I want to mention to you about the book of Acts there, where we're reading. I wrote this note down. The cool thing about all that is, you know, because it says that when that happened with Ananias and Sapphira, did you notice that it said that it kind of freaked everybody out? That's modern terminology, okay? That's the KW translation, right? It startled everybody. It put everybody in great fear. But did you notice what didn't happen? When they experienced that great fear because of what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't back away from God and go, oh, I don't want nothing to do with this bunch. They didn't back away from God. They just learned, with a healthy respect and a healthy fear of the Lord, I can step into God and I can walk in his power as long as I manage it right. That's what's so beautiful. As long as we're doing it out of a heart of love and a heart of service and a heart of faith, come on. That's what God's looking for. So ain't nobody, we don't have to be afraid of God. Unless you don't know Jesus, then you have great reason to be afraid. And I've said it this way, be afraid, be very afraid. You know, but if you've given your life to Christ, oh man, we got it made. As long as we just continue to honor him, respect him. The Bible says in James, it says, submit ourselves unto God, right? Resist the devil. See, that's why he says submit to God first and then resist the devil, not resist the devil and then submit to God. Because you need to be submitted to God so that when you resist the devil, God's got your back. Amen? So that's all we got to do. So I'm just going to submit my life to the Lord. Every morning, I'm going to get up and say, God, my life is yours. Help me to every decision I make today, everything I go to do today, help me to do it with you in mind. Oh, God, you're my great King. I love you. I'm so glad that you're with me. I'm so glad you're walking with me through my day. I'm so glad that prayer is not about saying something to you and leaving you at the house. That when I actually leave my prayer time, I'm actually taking the Lord with me, man, because he's right here in my heart. He's with me every step of the day, all the way through it. And I can just go, Lord, I just honor you. I thank you for your faithfulness. Amen.
Thank you for watching today's message. Please like, comment, and subscribe. The Difference Church is a church that loves God by loving people. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and that hope helps us to impact people's lives with purpose and passion. All are invited to come and hang out with us as we pursue the amazing love that God has for all of us. So come and be the difference with us as we share this amazing love with the world around us. At The Difference Church, there's a place for you. The Difference Church is located at 1055 Bain Street Southeast, in Albany, Oregon. Join us online or in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.